Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 42 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. The B-Man, The Peoples. Degenerates. I don't know why I do that thing with the bicep. I need to come up with a new hand signal. All right, why am I criticizing myself in the beginning? The B-Man, I'm in a very refreshed, sunny mood. I'm on PTO this week, so I'm getting out in the sun. I noticed last week when I was color grading the episodes, I have a little bit of golden brown to my skin. This is the darkest I'll ever get throughout the year, June and July. And for me, I feel great when I have a little bit of tan. I know probably for all of you, it's not a tan, but for me, you know, I'm looking like a hot dog. That's how dark I'm looking. And I'm loving every second of it. I run in the sun, high noon with my shirt off to let all the babes know I mean business. Actually, I sweat profusely, so if I'm wearing a t-shirt, it's drenched right away. So I take that out of consideration. I take my shirt off, and I just run topless, and I love every second. I just soak in that natural vitamin D. Ooh, do I feel good being on PTO. I remember, you ever have work in an office or like a corporate job, and you'll have a manager send out that email in February when work is really slow and go, hey, does anybody want to take PTO days now? We have the time for anybody. Absolutely not. I have low time preference. I like to save all my PTO for the summer and autumn because that's the best time to have off. I don't want to have time off in February. Like, fuck you. If you want me to take my vacation time in February, if you want to date me and go to Disney with your kids during winter vacation break, the B-Man ain't going with you. I'm saving it for the second half of the year for weeks like this. High 80s, running in the sun with my top off. That's the second time I've mentioned that in episode 42. I promise, no more mention of my shirt off. But seriously, PTO, save it for the summer. Do not waste it during those miserable months, especially if you live in a cold climate area. I suspect that most of you agree with my viewpoint there. Also, one more thing with PTO. I do know a lot of corporations, especially my sister's, they have this new policy where you have unlimited PTO days. Nope, we know that's a scam from the higher-ups in corporate America. Because here's the thing. They think that we don't know that when you say, hey, take PTO as much as you want, unlimited, and you think we'd be thrilled about that. But no, we're smart. We know you're trying to screw us because it's been proven. If you give us unlimited PTO days, we're not gonna use as many as if you gave us an exact number. And also, we also know that if you lay us off or we quit and go to a higher paying gig, that you don't have to pay us for the unused PTO days. So that's a corporate scam. So if you're new in the employment world and that's like one of the perks the company's coming at you with, is like, hey, PTO, take 6 weeks off in the summer like you're a lazy boy from Europe. You got to get permission from your manager and your manager's manager, and no one's going to allow you to take 6 weeks off from 1st of July to mid-August. Like, even if you have a baby, they're like, hey, you got to come back as quickly as possible because this is America. It's about the buck. So corporate America, fuck you with your unlimited PTO days. I ain't falling for it. Allow me PTO, middle of summer. I'll take my weeks, 1 week a month, June, July, August, and September. Thank you very much. Now give me my paycheck. On to the next topic I've been thinking about, pondering about. I used the word ruminating last episode, so I'm not going to reuse that one, even though I kind of just did. Have any of you been noticing more aggressiveness on the road? I will admit I drive mostly late at night because I work from home, but I do stand-up comedy in the evening. So oftentimes I'm driving home, you know, between 11, midnight, maybe sometimes even after midnight. And there'll be no cars on the road. So, like, I love it. There's hardly any traffic unless there's road work being done, which there is a lot of now because it is summer. How many times am I going to mention summer in this episode? But I will say there has been an uptick just from what I've noticed in my personal experience with drunk drivers. I see a lot of swerving and a lot of speeding, but the aggressive driver is driving me bonkers. And what I mean by that, it's the asshole who wants to rubberneck you in like on a road at midnight when there's no one on the road, and they get right on your ass and they put on their high beams. And what do you do? What do you do when someone gets right on your ass and puts their high beams on when you're on the freeway? I'll tell you what I do. I'm passive aggressive to the core. As you know, I've mentioned this maybe many, many times before, but this is what I'll do. You're going to get right bumper. What is it? A bumper to head of the car. I'm so terrible with cars, but our cars are like this close to each other. They're basically ass fucking, and you got your high beams on me. You know what I'm doing? I'm not moving because I drive the speed limit, so I'm usually in the slow lane. What I'm doing is I am slowing down. Okay, you're going to get on my ass. I'm not going to pump the brakes. All right, I'm not an ambulance chaser, but I'm just going to keep getting slower and slower and slower. And let's say oftentimes in Connecticut, the speed limit is, let's say it's 65, which is the case on I-91 in most spots. If I'm driving 65 and you get on my ass, I'm going down to 60. And if you still don't move over and you keep your high beams on, I'm going to 55. And then I'm going to 50. And there have been times in the last few months where I've gotten as slow as 40 miles per hour in a 65 mile an hour zone just the fuck with you. If you're going to have your high beams on and try to act all tough, I've got nowhere to be. It's midnight. I don't sleep anyway. Like I'm nocturnal. So I'll spend as much time as I need to on the highway to prove a point to you. And I'll make you switch lanes. And then when you pass me, I'm putting my high beams on to let you know that I knew that you had your high beams in my eyes and I didn't like it. So that's how I handle aggressive drivers who don't give me what would you call it? Like COVID laws, you know, 6 feet of space. If you're not giving me my space, I'm gonna become a turtle on that road. Turtle or what's that? The hare and the tortoise? Whatever. I'm slow. I'm gonna drive slow just to irk you because you irked me, and I don't want to have a fist fight. So I'm gonna stay in my car, lock the doors, and make sure you get more frustrated at me. All right, that was tense. I got that tenseness out, but I got to remember, I am on PTO. Life is good. Let's get into some Reddit posts I found this week. This one comes from the subreddit Zero Waste Parenting. Need advice on encouraging children to make zero waste purchases with their own money. My oldest child is 5, and we are starting to discuss giving her an allowance. To be honest, right now, I am somewhat against the idea because when she gets money, birthday, etc., she tends to buy stuff that is junk. You don't say. Plastic toys she plays with once and never again. Disposable items, etc. That's your second time using etc. I do not try to steer her away from those kinds of items in the store. Sorry, I do try to steer her away from those kinds of items in the store, but I feel conflicted. On one hand, it's her money, is it? She should be able to spend it how she wants. And it can also teach her the importance of financial lessons about saving for what you really want versus buying whatever junk you can afford for immediate gratification. On the other hand, limiting waste and minimizing plastic usage is important to me. I want to instill those values in her as well. So, how do you guys handle this situation? Do we let our kids find their own way into zero waste, or do we push them to align with our values from the beginning? Full disclosure, I have no kids. I am the youngest of 5. And as so, I do feel qualified to give parenting advice. And let's go. For me, my thought process is this. If your child cannot see over the countertop at a grocery store, your kid is not old enough to have an allowance yet. I think that's fair. you should not be giving your five-year-old an allowance. Because if you're at 5 years old, let's say your kid is in kindergarten or just starting preschool or ending preschool. So you don't want to give your what you don't want your five-year-old doing is going to school and buying a Lucy Crayola crayon from the student with fetal alcohol syndrome. And if you give your child an allowance in kindergarten, that's what your child is liable to do. So don't be sneaking a $10 bill in your child's backpack every Monday morning. You don't know what parenting is. I feel very confident telling you to your face that you are a rotten, terrible parent. When your child is 5 years old, your child does not have agency over his or her body or his or her thoughts, his or her actions. Their mind is not fully developed. So for you to be giving your kid money and going, hey, have at it, buy whatever you want with it, of course your child is going to buy like shitty plastic toys and junk that she's going to throw out as soon as you get home. That's why you don't give your kid money. Like when you, any money that your kid gets at a birthday party is not her money. Did your kid work at a sweat factory? Absolutely not. So your child did not earn that money. Therefore, your child does not get to choose where to spend that money and where to save the money. This is what you should be doing. And I thought this was kind of a unspoken agreement with children's birthday parties for us as adults. Okay, so you have a birthday party for your five-year-old. Great. Nobody wanted to attend, but they attend anyway because they feel guilted into going. So at least that's what I do. So your five-year-old gets a bunch of money from the grandparents, friends, family, aunts, uncles, cousins, you know, everybody, all the family comes together, gives your kid, I don't know, anywhere between $5 and $50. What you do with that money, and I thought this was the unspoken rule, tell me if I'm wrong down in the comments, is you take that money and you spend it on things you want. Let's say you take $25 and you spend money on your vice, whatever that may be, whether it's a pack of cigarettes, where you're going to Starbucks and get a coffee, a scratch-off ticket, maybe you go get some ice cream with it, whatever little thing that little thrill to your day, you spend the money on that, and then the rest of the money, if you're a good parent, you take that money and you put it into some type of saving account, like IRA, Roth, I'm not good with finance, but just a college fund. So you put the few hundred dollars she gets into a fund so that it will be, I don't know, I think $2,000 by the time she's 18, you know, compound interest, 18 birthdays, and she'll be able to, by that point, afford what, like two intro level classes at community college. But you get the idea. If you're a good parent, if you're a regular person, you're spending some of the money in coffee and the rest goes into some CD that your child will get when she's 25. Like you're really giving your, what's that saying? You're putting the cart before the horse. Like you're so worried about your child not wasting products and not buying things like plastic when your five-year-old is not smart enough to understand what the values you're trying to instill into her. Like you're trying to teach your child algebra before she knows how to do plus, minus, and division. But what I mean by that is, as a 40-year-old, like sometimes I struggle with recycling. You'll have a new bottle of like a Gatorade, but it's not Gatorade. Let's say it's like Prime or some new energy drink that you've never heard of before. And you finish it and like, wait, is this recyclable? And you don't know. So you kind of have to do that thing where you look on the bottom of it and see if you get the 5 or 10 cents. And we've all been in that situation. And now you're expecting a five-year-old to do that where everything, like you want... Your child could barely understand Dr. Seuss novels, but yet you want her to read the back label of something and read every ingredient and know which ones are natural and which ones are man-made? Like, the fuck off, your five-year-old's going to be able to do that. That you're just putting too much pressure on your child. Somehow without even parenting her and letting her buy whatever the hell she wants, it's a weird dichotomy you got going. Like, normally today, you hear about parents who are such, like, overbearing where they'll never let their child have, you know, like, sugar, like, soda, soft drinks, candy. You know, they're never allowed to ride a bike or go on a roller coaster or have any type of adrenaline rush. They're not allowed to ride bikes because anything that could give them a cut and scrape, it's like, oh, no, we can't hurt our child. And they're so encumbersome that their children, once they grow up and go to college for the first time, they end up overdosing the first weekend and have to get their stomach pumped. But what you're doing is like almost the opposite. You're like, hey, man, here's a grocery store. Here's the $20 you got at your birthday. Go buy whatever you want. Me and your hubby are going to have sex in the back of the SUV. We'll come back and get you in 30 minutes. I mean, you might as well just give your daughter a bottle of wine, teach her how to open it, and go, hey, learn how to drink on your own. We'll talk to you in 2 hours. Like, you gotta start being her parent. Like, you're almost like being her friend, like her cheerleader. Like, start being her parent and just like just tell her, hey, tell her no, right? Just tell her no. Like, next time she wants to buy a Barbie doll that's made of plastic and rubber, go, no, that's bad for the environment. We can't buy that. And then when she gives you a big hissy fit, you stay true to what you said and you move on, because you're the adult in this relationship. You're the one that dictates the terms. And she'll cry now, but she'll appreciate it years from now when she's not calling for bail from a cell because she did something, you know, illegal that the cops caught her for. I also want to say this. Like, if you really care about the environment, just, like, baby steps, right? Like, don't try teaching her the difference between things that are hazardous to the environment and which ones are healthy. Just teach her not to litter. Okay, teach her what a litter bug is. Like, you're getting ice cream and she throws the popsicle stick when she's done on the ground. Kind of go, hey, pick that up. Don't be a litter bug. And then you let her know. And they go, why do I have to do that? Because it's bad for the environment. And show her, next time you drive by a lake, you show her all the garbage that's up along the shore. And then you show her all the homeless people that have needles coming out of their arms. I'm being a bit hyperbolic, but you get the idea. And you tell her, hey, we care about this environment. We want to live here. We want to smell fresh air. So just teach her how not to be a litter bug. And then, I don't know, when she's older, let's say at least double digits, then you can teach her about how the oil companies fuck over all of us. That's not what you should be doing when she's five. Be doing that when she's at least like puberty. You're the type of parent who will let, this is a little bit out there too, that you're the type of parent who would let their kid get on puberty blockers when she's like 7 years old. It's like, hey, how about you let her go through a few health classes in like fifth and sixth grade before you let her alter her body for life? Like, just let her be a kid. Let her make some mistakes. And then every once in a while, when she does something that's bad for the environment, just point it out and be like, hey, we're trying to be a little better. We're trying to be a little better because we care about the environment and we love trees. And maybe, I don't know, take her out into the forest and hug some trees. Like, she's not smart enough to understand microplastics. Ugh, terrible parent you are. For the sake of your child, I hope you shape up and become a little bit more forceful and take her money away and buy a coffee with it. Like I said earlier, I was on some PTO, so I had a day off. I didn't have any editing to do. I didn't have any stand-up in the afternoon. So I decided to go out and have some fun. And I thought maybe I'd document it and let all of you see what it is I do when I have some free time. So I hope you enjoy. Hey, have you heard Verbal Graffiti is now a podcast? You can find it at Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your smut, other than Pandora, because I cannot figure out how to upload my content onto their platform. That previous sketch I did, I think what I'll do going forward for the podcast form of verbal graffiti is not include those, because without the video, I don't know if everyone will be able to understand what's happening. So if you are listening now to Verbal Graffiti as a podcast, if you want to see my sketches, go to Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and all the other social media platforms, and I'll put them there along with a lot of other reels of clips of the episodes of Verbal Graffiti. Now, with all that shameless plugging out of the way, a lot of people have been asking me about last episode, or maybe it was episode 39. I talked a lot about condoms, or more so, how I don't use condoms. And I suspect most of you do not use condoms either. And a lot of people were asking me, well, how do you prevent pregnancy, B-Man? Well, I don't have much sex. But if you do, if you're someone who does fornicate a lot and you're not on birth control and you, but you don't want to have a baby, here's what I suggest, okay? If you're a babe and your man goozing you and you're not on birth control, do not take Plan B if you don't want to get pregnant. That can harm your body. My suggestion, and this is medical advice, I promise you that, is right after you fornicate, you want to do 25 jumping jacks, chug 2 liters of Mountain Dew, find a hot tub, sit in that for 45 minutes, and then finally hold your breath for 90 seconds. If you do all of those things, there's no way a sperm will survive all those obstacles. You're welcome for not getting pregnant. Let's get into the next thing I found on Reddit. If I can open up my phone, and yes, I can. This comes from the subreddit Plastic Surgery. Best country for cost-effective fat transfer to breast. Hello, I'm considering fat transfer to my breast, and I was wondering if there are folks who got this procedure done outside of US, Canada. How was your experience? Which country did you go to? And how expensive was it? How does post-op follow-up work if you can't stay in the country for more than a few weeks? If there's anything we are here at Verbal Graffiti, it is we like breasts. We nurture breasts. We love breasts. We care for them. We want to see every breast in the world flourish and be the best breast they can be. So I'm happy that you want to transform your boobies. I'm not going to lie. I am very nervous with the tone of your post. It's giving me, I don't get heartburn, but it's making my blood pressure, my heartbeat rise, because I can already sense with all the questions, you're too concerned about money and you're not doing enough research. I feel like I'm having to be a parent this entire episode, like I was in the first segment. I have to do more parenting here, and I'm going to tell you, and I've said this so many times on Verbal Graffiti, you get what you pay for. And boobs are very important. If you're going to get breast implants, spend as much money as you can. Do not go cheap, because this is a definitive moment of your life. It's kind of like our calendar, okay? We have before Christ and after Christ. That's how we do time. That's how we do days and years. Same with you. As soon as you get breast implants, it's like having a rebirth. Everyone's going to define you by before boobs, when you were flat-chested, and now when you have the big tater tots, and that day, that's day one. And if you go cheap, it's going to irk you the rest of your life. If you want to get breast implants, if you're going to go this route, and we applaud you for doing so, because we are pro-body enhancement here at Verbal Graffiti, pro-self-esteem, you do not want to be flying to some Asian country you can't point out on the map and you really don't know how to pronounce the name of the country. That's not what you want to be doing. Also, if you live in bumfuck America or bumfuck anywhere, you do not want to be going to a local surgeon. This is not like getting a tattoo. Be honest. Okay, someone gets a tattoo, it looks great, 3 years later, it's all faded. The lines kind of smudged. If it's a color tattoo, the red looks orangey. The blue looks like a melted popsicle stick. It fades away, because here's what happens. You do no research. You go to some tattoo parlor that's in a plaza next to a Subway restaurant, and you have a guy with tattoos on his head and a biker's vest, and you don't even know his last name, and you put $200 on the table and let him ink you up, and that's going to be on your, I don't know, your forearm for the rest of your life. Like, that's bonkers that people do that, and I see it everywhere. Be honest. Next time you're out, look at people's tattoos. If it's not brand spanking new, where, like, you could see the hair's been shaved and they just pulled off, like, the bandage, chances are it kind of looks like a children's painting, where it's all faded and, like, the lines aren't sharp anymore. It's because you didn't do any research. And it's the same thing here with boobs. It seems like you haven't done any work on your own. You went to Reddit, you asked a bunch of questions without giving us any perspective of what you feel. And the fact that you're trying to do a fat transfer to your boobs, like, you're trying to do a two-in-one. You're trying to make a boob surgery. You're trying to do this. This is like the Head and Shoulders shampoo of plastic surgeries. Like, that, you don't want to be going 2-for-1 when it comes to plastic surgery, especially when it pertains to your chest, which is the most important part of your body. Okay, what do we do? What do we do, B-Man? Okay, you avoid local surgeons. Where are the best surgeons in the U.S. when it comes to plastic body enhancement surgery? New York City, L.A., Dallas, Miami, and maybe Las Vegas. Those are the five, or maybe Scottsdale, Arizona, too. But anyways, there's like five places in the U.S. That's where you want to go. So that's where you congregate all of your research. Go to those five locations and just start researching every plastic surgeon that is in that location. And don't do this. Don't just go to their website and look at the surgeon's before and after photos of all of his patients, because obviously your surgeon is going to put her best work on her website. So that's like a malfactured Yelp review. That's not what you want to do. All right. This is what you should be doing. Go out and seek where people have breast implants. Well, B-Man, where are those places? Okay, go to wherever the closest big city to you is, go to the strip clubs there, because strippers have boob jobs. So go to those strip clubs on an off night, like a, not a Friday, Saturday, but let's say you go there on a Thursday night, maybe like pre, 11 p.m., and just be honest with the strippers. Pay for a lap dance with a girl who has boobs that you like, and ask her where she got her surgery. Ask her her experience with it, whether she was happy or not, and what she did. Even, like, pay extra to go back to the locker room to feel them up. And again, if the B-Man did this, it would be super creepy. No stripper would allow me to do that. But strippers love other women. So as long as you're being honest, to be like, hey, I'm interested in getting breast enhancement. What was your experience? I love your boobs. Like, she's going to be honest with you. Number two, porn stars. So start watching porn. Go on the Hub. Find all just do a collection of, collect all the names of the porn stars with the boob breast. I can't speak. Brian, stop thinking about boobs. Think about it in a medical sense. You're a medical professional here. Okay, so you go on Pornhub or whatever smut site you use, find all the porn stars with the breast implants that you like, that you think look good in 4K on camera. Reach out to those porn stars. They all have social media accounts. Trust me, I follow them all. They're there. And just send them a DM and go, hey, I'm thinking about getting breast enhancements. I was watching some of your videos, big fan of your body. What doctor did you go to? Chances are, if you're being honest and you do a well-written out DM, she'll respond to you. And you send an email to 10, you're going to get a few responses. So you go to those two. And also, if you go to a gym, go to your local gym if there are babes there who look like they have, you know, got fake knockers. Just go up and ask, like in the locker room, like, hey, I noticed you have a great chest. Are those enhanced? Like, what doctor did you go to? Just start the conversation with women who have had their boobs taken care of. And if they were really happy with their experience, they're going to be happy to give you a recommendation. Now, what I will say is hopefully you do that research. And also look up forums online, Facebook, Reddit, as you've done here. I'm sure there are lots of forums where people talk about their experience with breast implants, happy and like positive and negative. The big question, though, is what type of breast implant? There's a lot of controversy online because I did some research for you. Do you want to go over the muscle, under the muscle, silicone, fat transfer? I will say from the limited research, the B-Man is done. And it is limited, but I do have a lot of experience looking at boobs. So take that for what it's worth. Fat transfer from one body part on your body to your boobs seems to be the worst way to go. From a lot of research I've done, all the pictures I've seen, like the woman's body looks like chop suey. Like it just the whole, whether it came from the stomach, the buttocks, the inner thighs, it just doesn't look natural. It's lumpy all over your body, so that you're not getting what you pay for. So don't go that route. I did find one surgeon in Alabama. Let me get this up. Okay. I'll put it up here. Okay. 12 months post-surgery update. I had a tuberous breast correction, breast augmentation done last April by Dr. William Hedden at Hedden and Gunn Plastic Surgery in Alabama. 300 CCS in each round, moderate plus profile, silicone implants over the muscle, breast creased incisions only, no lift or areola correction, and total cost was $6,313. Height, weight, 5'1", 112 pounds, age 31. Now, I don't think I can show you the actual photo, but these are the best breast implants I've seen in my life. And I'm not talking, these aren't like porn star breasts. Like she had complete flat chest, 2x4, cartoon, and the post-op surgery, they look supernatural, like normal looking breasts, like big breasts, but they're not ridiculous porn star, like 1990s. And they're not like, they just look like natural breasts with no weird marks. So if you can go to that doctor in Alabama and that price point, $6,000 to $10,000, like my heart rate is normal. It's 120 over 70 when I hear that price range. That is how much money you should be spending on your boobies. $6,000 to $10,000 if you want nice enhanced breasts. But what I will say is, I suggest going over the breast and a little incision like on the bottom of the boob or through like your armpit, I think they do. I've been with one babe with fake boobs and they were great. They were big, monstrous, felt great. But I think she had her nipple cut off and had an implant done there because I could see like the sewing marks, like reattaching her areola to her boob. And it wasn't as picturesque as you like boobs to be. I didn't complain. She never wanted to see me again for some other reasons, which I'm immature. What can I say? But yeah, going through the areola, don't do that. Going where they slice up like half the boob, don't do that. You don't want a runway going up to your areola. And don't be transferring fat everywhere else. Just pay the money, pay up, go to one of the major cities and get a great pair of titties and send us the results before and after to brian.glass@gmail.com. Till next episode, go suck a fat one.